They would keep it down when there were several blacks in the place, but with only me and the three old men standing at the bar today, they felt pretty safe. "Should have burned him months ago," one said. I figured it was the tall one, because out of the corner of my eye I had seen that he was doing most of the talking. "That kind of son of a bitch make it hard on everybody," he went on. "I'd pull the switch myself, they asked me." I knew now what they were talking about and who they were talking about, but I told myself to keep it cool. Let them talk. They were probably out of work, and it was just plain frustration that made them go on like that. "Just cool it," I told myself. "You just cool it now." But when I looked down the bar, I could see that Claiborne was listening to them too. And even the old men had looked back once or twice. So now we were all hearing them, but I could hear them better because I was closer to their table. And the old forester was not doing anything to keep me from listening. It was helping me listen. That's the way it is with booze. It gives and takes. It keeps you from doing what you're supposed to do well in bed, and other times it makes you listen to things you should not listen to, like now. "Let them talk," I said again to myself. "If you can't stand here and take it, then get into your car and leave. Go somewhere else and get a drink. He's got only a few more weeks, and you have to do all you can for him, for all the others. You came here in a good mood because this is one of the best days you have had with him, and you can't let this kind of trash destroy that good feeling, so don't, all right?" I finished the drink and sucked on an ice cube as I rolled the glass around in the palms of my hands. I raised the glass for the last drop before setting it on the bar. I turned around slowly and looked at them. The tall one with the cowboy hat and the short fat one with the baseball cap turned backward on his head. All I was going to do was lean back against the bar a moment. Then I was going to walk out. They knew I was looking at them, and they were quiet a moment. Then the tall one said something and the fat one snickered, and I thought I had heard enough. I went up to their table. "Shut up." "What?" the tall one said. "You heard me. I said shut up." He grinned at me. "You don't mean that." "You shut up or get up," I said. "I mean that." He looked at his buddy, then back at me, and the hatred in those light brown eyes was thick enough to cut with a cane knife. He grinned. "Fine with me, partner." He braced himself against the table to stand up, but he was getting up with too much confidence, and I hit him before he had a chance to protect himself, and down he went over the back of that chair. Just as I expected, old fat boy jumped up too, and I caught him in the face with the side of my fist, and I saw him fall back and throw his hand up to his mouth. I got my back to the wall so I could keep both of them in front of me. I don't know whether Claiborne came over the bar, under the bar, or around the bar, but he was there now, and he had grabbed the fat one, and he was hollering for me and the other one to cut it out. "Not in here," he was hollering. "Not in here, goddammit." The tall one was up, and he was trying to move in on me, and when I saw that Claiborne had grabbed Fat Boy, I moved away from the wall with my guard up. Claiborne was wrestling with the fat one, but hollering at us. The tall one kept coming in on me. Then he swung, and I moved, and he went into the wall. His back was to me, but I didn't hit him. Not that I'm a gentleman fighter. I didn't hit him because he was between the wall and the table, and if I had moved in close enough to hit him, I would not have had room to move around. He came off that wall, and he swung at me again. Not with his fist first, but with both arms at once, just as Frankenstein had done it in the movies. He missed. But I could feel the force of his swing, even his body heat, and I knew that if nobody stopped this thing, I was in for a fight. He was taller and heavier and stronger than I, and he had 3 or 4 generations of bricklaying genes in him, while I had only cane cutting in mine. Out of the corner of my eye, I could still see Claiborne wrestling with the fat one, while continuing to holler at me and the tall one to stop. But since the tall one was not paying any attention to him, I wasn't about to drop my guard. He swung at me again, and I went under his arm and struck him in the side with all I had, but it seemed as if I had hit a wall. I told myself, "Partner, you got your work cut out for you. He doesn't know how to fight, but he's strong as a mule." He came back, and this time he landed. Not his fist, his arm. And I thought it was chicken shit of him to hit me with an arm and not a fist, as a man should hit a man. But I was thinking this from the floor. I don't know what was going on in his mind, but he was standing over me as though he was waiting for me to get up before hitting me again. I kicked him in the shin, he fell back, and I got to my feet. He was right on me again, and he swung. I went under it and intentionally caught him below the belt. He buckled over, grabbing at his nuts with both hands. I moved in, and he started swinging with the one arm to ward me off. I hit him twice, hard. He kept swinging with one arm, the other hand holding on to his nuts. His face showed pain, but he would not stop. He would not go down. Those 3 or 4 generations of bricklaying genes, his hatred of the black-white blood in him, and his plain frustration with life would not let him go down.